This is To The Point with Marcus Amick, where we cut through all the noise to discuss the things driving the world of automotive sales and service. Let's get to it.
Powered by Rocket.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Grasping the true benefits of DE&I in business has proven to be difficult for some. For others, it's just the way they've always conducted business. And I'm inclined to think that if you delved into any successful diversity initiative, you'll find that the success of that program is deeply rooted in people who shared a passion for DE&I long before it became a popular mode of operation in the corporate world. It's those very individuals in the world of auto retail that the new Buick GMC Inclusive Dealer Recognition Program is focused on honoring as part of the automaker's efforts to build on its own commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. That idea rings through crystal clear in this episode of To The Point, the second part of our three-part series, Building Forward, featuring Sherry Schultz, Executive Vice President, Chief Human Resources Officer for the Walzer Automotive Group, based in Minnesota, and Wanda Howe, the owner of Chronic Buick GMC in Georgia, who were recently honored with the Buick GMC Inclusive Dealer Recognition Award. Wanda and Sherry, thank you for joining us on To The Point.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so let's dig right in. Wanda, let's start with you. What has really driven your efforts to make diversity and inclusion such a priority at the dealership?
Well, I think being a woman car dealer in a male-dominated profession, you automatically see the challenges. And I think my background, my dad did not have any sons, and he was always proud of that fact. And he used to joke that the dealers that had sons seemed to be more concerned with their golf games. And he said, I'm not really worried about your golf game, Wanda, which is non-existent. I don't have a golf game. So I think I grew up knowing that the expectation was that I would work really hard. And but I had his full support and expectation that I would be successful. And then I went to an all-girls college, Sweetbriar College in Virginia, and single-sex colleges for women seemed to create some of the strongest leaders. So I think that also honed my leadership. They focus very much on women and leadership opportunities. So I think that's where. So it goes back a long way. And as you go along, you become even more cognizant of the differences and that the expectations are higher for you. And people, obviously, if there's one female dealer in a room or one minority dealer in a room, and there's 10 or 12 white males, you're going to stand out more for either good or bad. So more is expected and you're looked at closer. And that's fine with me. I've always accepted the mantra that I need to work harder and smarter.
Sherry, what about for you? What's driven it for you on a personal level?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. And I think so many times people ask me, what is the secret to diversity? And I think from a business perspective, there isn't one. It's the secret to people that has always driven me. I grew up on the East Coast, and I remember the day. I am a Jewish, and I was sitting with my grandfather outside of Temple, and I had seen numbers tattooed on one of the gentlemen at Temple's arm. And I remember as a seven-year-old asking my grandfather, what is that? Explain that to me. And so for a young Jewish child to understand the travesty of the Holocaust or what genocide in general meant for me, and well, Jews weren't the only target of that atrocity. It was primarily of that. So I remember him saying to me, don't be afraid. I hope you understand. I said, afraid? I'm not afraid. I'm mad. And I said, at that little day, my seven-year-old HR brain was forged. And I knew that at that point, I would advocate for justice. And justice is largely about taking different perspectives into consideration. I remember the moment, Marcus, so it's a very good question for me, because I've always suggested meeting people where they are and recognizing the differences that people bring to the table and judging not. And so for me, that is the personal story. I also grew up with a father who was a dealer as well, who respected that I didn't necessarily at that point have an interest in the family business. And he encouraged me. And so those are good things to have in your life. But I can tell you, feeling excluded in any way, shape, or form when you're a young kid can send you off in a different direction. And for me, I said, I'll work for my career to ensure that others don't feel that way so that their best ideas can be shared.
Wow. It seems like even though it is definitely something that is much needed within the industry, the focus, but it just seems like it can be challenging at times. Wanda, have there been some challenges in you sort of taking this initiative head on?
Well, I think one of your questions asks the fact that in addition to working about diversity representation, at the end of the day, you've got to sell cars and got to be profitable. So, there have been very challenging years, like 2008, 2009. So I think you have to balance all of these. Sometimes at the end of the day, it's just making sure you've got the money in the bank to make your payroll. And although diversity and being fair hopefully guides all my behaviors, sometimes it has to fit in there with business perspectives of, as I say, profitability, trying to be successful sales-wise numbers. So, I mean, it still has to fit into the constraints of being a successful business.
Well, how do you...
But I do...
I'm sorry. How do you balance that, though, Wanda?
Well, I think the recognition that having a sales force and a management team, an employee team, that represents the diverse community that we're serving is really not an obligation. It's a benefit and an advantage. And hopefully, I think I'm more comfortable working with diverse styles and more accepting of cultural differences. But it's really not a disadvantage or not an obligation. It's a strength, and it helps me to be successful. So I think people a lot of times will not take on things they're afraid of, but I have found that I work well with the cultural differences, and I do realize that for my success, a stronger team is going to be a more diverse team.
Sherry, what have been some of the challenges that you've faced in
the— Yeah, I think I can dovetail off what Wanda said completely. For me, I think when I look at the business case for it, I've been talking about the business case for diversity a very long time. So ultimately, we're running a business. All of our businesses are for profit. And I understand where Wanda's coming from. But my experience has been that as owners, as general managers, as leaders in any industry, until diversity in a lot of ways becomes personal for an individual, the business case doesn't appear as apparent. And so the challenge for me was creating an opportunity for our general management to become vulnerable and be aware of their own biases. It's human nature to hire in your likeness, right? It's human nature to be where you are because you were raised to be that way. And, you know, many, many decades before us, our belief system was forged. And so for me, it was helping our general managers and our sales leaders and fixed leaders become vulnerable about what they didn't know. And so the education process around diversity was one that I think in many cases, people aren't sure how to handle it. So they're afraid of it. So they run away from it. And so my goal and my work was really to create an opportunity for them to become vulnerable, address the biases that they have, and help them connect on a personal level. And so one of the things that we do is we speak to the values that each individual has, which allows for a lot of good conversation. And it tears down some of those walls, but also creates much stronger education for individuals around, you know, kind of what the world is about, right? Minneapolis is a very diverse community. We are a sanctuary city from a Somali perspective. We have a very good cross-cultural component in our very neighborhoods. And so the customer speaks to it. All right. But it always has, Marcus. So for me, I said, if the consumer has been diverse, why would we not look like them in the market? Why would we not staff and look that way? And guess what? When you ask more people what they love and what they need, you'll get a better answer. So it became a business driver for us and has worked incredibly well.
Wow. So how does the new initiative by Buick GMC, the Inclusive Dealer Recognition Program, how does it help to deal with those challenges that you face? Wanda.
This is a tremendous honor and very unexpected. And I think it has challenged me to go back and look at everything in my employee handbook and in my management practices to try to make sure that I'm even more inclusive and diverse. So I think rather than being just an honor, it's a real challenge. I want to live up to and improve on what I'm doing now and take strides forward. So I think this is a challenge for me.
And Sherry, for you, how does...
Oh, I am excited about it because it's gasoline on the fire for me. Right? When the OEM and our partnership with our OEM asks of us something, it validates the need for it. It is a catalyst for me. I want more of it from our OEMs. I want more of it from GM. I want to be held to, and I think quite honestly, I want and hope that the OEMs hold all dealers to a bit of a higher standard on this particular topic. And so for me, I am excited about it because it's a partnership, right? We can't do it without you and you can't do it without us. So when I have the backing from the OEM and the belief that the way we sell, lead, and structure everything in our dealership to meet the needs of the community is reinforced by the OEM, it's a happy day for me. I love that.
Sherry, that top-down approach is really important.
Absolutely, because I think we're ridiculously in charge. People are looking at our actions and, you know, silence and complicit understanding of obvious things that some might avoid. We don't. And so it's funny. I think there are pockets of time when, you know, the world at large would say, hey, don't talk about this. I've always said, do talk about it. Right? Because what we talk about, we can refine, we can embrace, we can work out the kinks. So if our leaders are fluent in inclusivity, and I would even say belonging, and that is a very tactical ongoing coaching of our leaders to engage everyone on their team, not just the ones that they know well or they've been working with for years, you know, you're going to get so much more. You're going to create authenticity, but it's also going to build credibility with your front line. And the other piece of it, Marcus, is the top down for me is also fed by what my front line tells me, right? I don't want to give and be something that is irrelevant to them. And so when you ask them, what does it feel like? You better be ready for the answer and be willing to adjust because, you know, you only are as good as the reality that they're experiencing. And as they are closest to your customer, you know, I never want to fly a flag on something on the outside that our employees say, no, you're not doing it well. So I ask them. So it's a real circular relationship between us believing in what we're doing and standing for something, but continuing to evolve and ask the questions of our frontline.
Wanda, how do you go about engaging those around you and getting them actively involved in these kind of initiatives and seeing them as important?
Well, I've always encouraged my team to be active in the community, to join different organizations. I've been a member of the American Business Women's Association for 30 years, and I've been the education chairman for 25 of those. And we focus on women graduating from college and returning in life to college. So I think education is a real opportunity. So I think in our role in the leadership, we focus on education and we also focus on community involvement. And I'm very involved in the local community from everything from the Water Authority trying to work with getting sewer put in some of the more disadvantaged neighborhoods. And I was on the development authority making an attempt to bring more business to a community that years ago would have been referred to as a mill town. And when the mills closed up there, there was an issue about jobs. So I think there's a need for education within the organization and making sure that our team is very involved at Christmas with the Salvation Army, ringing bells and collecting toys. We're the biggest distribution point for Toys for Tots, and collecting money. And as I say, we provide a vehicle for the Salvation Army to use during that period of time. So making sure that we're meeting the needs, because the community that the Salvation Army is working with is disproportionately minority and disadvantaged. So I think it's education within the organization and involvement in the community.
Wanda, how do you go about measuring the success of what you're doing in this regard?
Well, I think the management team among my three dealership group, being minority at 30%, I feel like that's maybe surprising to people, and it's a little bit different in the business community. So I think that there's a hard, fast number way to measure it. And I think Sherry touched on this, the success being more diverse just makes sense from a business perspective. I think it helps us be successful. So at the end of the day, if all the ingredients are there, then we have we bake the cake. And I feel like that we're seeing success with a lot of the initiatives we have. So that's the final measure, that we are being inclusive, but we're also being a successful business.
Sherry, in closing, how will you and how have you and how will you continue to measure the success of the initiatives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, obviously the makeup of the work group and the success of those individuals, it's one thing to have the makeup, but to Wanda's point, if you're not successful, that's the counterbalance. So 15 out of the 23 directors in our organization and, we have a group as well, are women. And so it isn't because we place them there, it's because they earned it. And so we've been speaking to that for some time. So I would agree with Wanda as well that, when you bring talent in and you're fishing from a bigger pond, and then doing programs like succession planning and, some of our resource groups, which are a really incredible way to help get exposure to individuals around the diversity front, then they ascend through your organization. And so I think that the measurement of that is critical. So if you believe in it and you coach it, then the diversity that exists in your leadership team will follow. And for us to have 15 out of 23 of our directors be women is a pretty strong statement in a time when our business has never been better, with all the tailwind that we have. Yes, but even if we take that away, we've been on this journey since 18, and even beyond that. The other thing that we measure, Marcus, is general participation. So we have resource groups, Women of Walser, we have Drive with Pride, Mosaic for employees of color. We're working through a veteran group right now, Faith and Understanding, and then a group that's going to be focused on our Asian network. And when you start to get requests from employees to celebrate these differences and to explain to their coworkers what it means, I think all of us on this call would love nothing more than not to have these resource groups for us to just be inherently curious with each other. But you're on the journey. Education and celebration about these differences is really an important cornerstone of it. And so I measure the membership of our resource groups, the events that they're having, the participation, right? And how active is our organization in these particular types of initiatives and our resource groups. So, it's a really good platform to get people excited about it versus intimidated by it.
Wow, that's great. Well, Wanda and Sherry, I really want to thank you for taking the time out, and I want to congratulate you for being acknowledged for your efforts in the first ever inclusive dealer recognition program by Buick GMC.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to meeting Sherry in person at some point at a Buick GMC meeting. I very much enjoyed listening to your comments today.
And Wanda, I feel the same way. Thank you so much. It's a huge honor for us. I'm humbled by it. It feels like the work that we do. So I know, Wanda, I look forward to the same and meeting you in person. It's been a pleasure.
Now, back to the noise.